Welcome, Washington Defenders. I'm Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, and you're on another broadcast. We're here at Roanoke in Ocean Shores, Washington. It's a great time to hang out with a bunch of conservatives and get to hear each other's ideas and sharpen each other. So I have a special guest with you. Why don't you go ahead and introduce... I love your hat. Simple majority voting. Yes. Tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself to our audience.
My name is Kamal Richards, and I'm from Vancouver, Washington. And I'm here at Roanoke today so that to teach people about simple majority voting and what it is and what it's not.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's great. And so a little bit about your family, who you are.
Yes.
And,
yes. So I grew up in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. Mm-hmm. That's where I lived for most of my life. Politics always had been something that resonated with my family. When I was growing up, Bill Clinton was the talk of the household.
Yeah.
We always talk about how the Republicans were the bad guys and the Democrats were the good guys.
Oh, no. Okay.
And that's the way it was when I was growing up.
Exactly.
And I asked my mom one time, I says, why do we vote Democrat for and not Republican? I asked her that question and she said, because the parties change or the party switched, something of that nature. And I came to find that that was false.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. By watching.
Well, what's really interesting is when I was growing up, when I came to know Jesus, right? My mom said, you can love Jesus, but you always be a Republican. I don't care, you know, because my mom wasn't there at that spot. Right.
Yes.
And so it's interesting how, family units have different perspectives over time in history.
Yes.
And I would say in my mind, there's even been another shift in the Republican Party, right?
Yes, so. Absolutely. And I feel that I think it was John Carlson that was just speaking there, how he was talking about, you know, getting behind candidates, you know, even though they may not fit, you know, be your cup of tea with every single thing,
right,
to kind of get behind them still, because, you know, we need those numbers in the legislature and everywhere in our country. And then you duke it out later over those other moral issues, you know?
Right. So how did you come to that switch? I mean, how did you go from being a Democrat to Republican?
It's very funny. I guess it would be through maybe my dad first, to mention him. I would say he was a hardcore Democrat, always supported Obama, obviously supported Clinton, and so did my mom and everything. Mm-hmm. I think where the change came was obviously during Obama's tenure in his administration, where he started passing some bills that were very kind of a bit odd, like the one bill where he made a mistake with the medical insurance, where if you didn't have insurance, then guess what? You got fined for that when you did your taxes.
So, oh, wow. Yeah, that was a horrible thing.
That was a terrible bill. I think it was something like about Medicare or Medi-Cal, something like that. And I wasn't really looking at the issues and all the bills. And so I'm just telling my dad, let him do what he has to do, right? He probably has a lot on his plate.
Right.
And so what ended up happening was my brother found Alex Jones, InfoWars.
Yeah. You're like, wait, there's another perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, that's going from one, you know, Clinton's to Alex Jones is like pretty extreme. But yes, okay.
Right. And so we started listening to the InfoWars, and they would have individuals on there from both sides of the argument. And always the person that seemed to give more detail and wasn't from the mainstream media always seemed to be the one that was right about it. We're like, why didn't the news talk about what this guy just talked about?
Right.
You see? And that's kind of what started the transition. Then fast forward to when Trump it then announces, you see, my friend Richard, a good friend of mine from high school, started talking to me about what Trump was doing to fix all the mistakes that Obama did. Mm-hmm. And then we get to 2020 where the election was stolen. And that's kind of where I started getting more involved with election integrity. And that is what I'm most passionate about.
Wow.
Is election integrity, keeping the voter rolls clean and ensuring that we stay away from alternative voting systems like ranked choice voting.
Right.
And that brings me to obviously why I'm here at Roanoke.
Well, and this is where it's interesting because, you know, I was raised in Grandview, Washington, which is like a small farming community. Mm-hmm. Even though my parents had this like Republican stance, really the party at that time was for big business, not for the farmers, right? And then the Democrats were more for, you know, the everyday working man, you know, which was what we were lower middle class, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
And it sounds like at that same time you guys were on that side, but then but then it switched where it's like the Republican Party is now for the working man.
Yes.
And it seems like it's
different. I would like to say that, you know, the Democrat Party has been infiltrated, if that might even using the right word there. They don't stand for families anymore. They don't stand for the common working man, you know? And if the unions obviously are still supporting them, but they don't even respect the unions, right?
Right.
If they're not paying that a membership fee every single year, whatever it is that they pay, right? Then guess what? You don't get no benefits, you see, from them. And so I feel that people really need to wake up and realize what the Democrat Party has become.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican Party is the party of for the people. You
see? Exactly right.
That's just how I see it.
And it seems like there was a shift because, like, through both Bushes and really the Clintons and Obamas, it was kind of like a global kind of idea.
Absolutely.
And whether they were Republican or Democrat. And then we got this national guy coming on. And it's like, oh, wait, we want to be for our own people first. And that's the foundation of a society.
Absolutely. So that when Trump came on the scene, and my friend jokes about this all the time, he says Trump ain't no Republican. He's an independent.
It's true. And he used to give to the Democrat Party all the time.
Yes.
I don't, I don't know.
Yeah,
but so I did hear in one interview that he gave to both parties because he wanted to win.
Yeah, see, and again, now maybe at that time it maybe was, you know, I look at JFK, you know, and maybe at that time maybe it was good to vote Democrat at that time. You see, but you know, we look at now, it is almost night and day. You can't say that the Democrats are doing anything, okay? Even they say they support women's rights, but they also support trans. You can't do that. That's a complete, you know, oxymoron there. You know,
and
what
this
mean?
Is the economy that I'm like. So honestly, it seems like white people seem to go more woke easier. I don't know why. And it seems like black people are more like in the roots of their Christian faith and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And I was like, I've had this dichotomy going on. Like, why is it that then? Do so many people vote this way and this way? Yes. And I just haven't figured that out. Yeah. It's been perplexing to me.
I would say it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
See, it was because my dad voted that way. My grandma voted that way.
And grandfather voted Republican,
that way.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so it just got passed down, you see? And it was the civil rights movement that was kind of a influence there for voting for Democrats. They're out there saying, you know, we're going to get you reparations or whatever it was that they promised, social services, whatever, but that has not benefited us and everything, or the black community in general. We have actually have gone down everything, voting for Democrat, then coming up.
Yeah.
Before that, you had Booker T. Washington, who was teaching African Americans how to, you know, develop a skill, and then you own that skill, and then you could teach that to someone else, you see? Yeah. And that kind of all went away after the civil rights movement.
All right, so let's go back to Trump. Yeah. You were talking about getting the vote out and voter integrity. Tell me about that passion.
Okay, yes. So,
it was good.
We're skipping back over to that. So, how I got into it was actually through the Lauren Culp campaign. That's how I started getting involved. Mm-hmm. And so after the election happened and it got stolen, whatever term you want to use, my friends started talking to me about, we need to start cleaning the voter rolls. Mm-hmm. And we need to start, you know, figuring out better ways of fixing our voting systems here within all the West Coast, right? So I'll be California, Oregon, and possibly Washington State.
Washington State,
So I caught, got a hang of ranked choice voting. Right. It was introduced to our county charter about 2 or 3 years ago now, and so I started a PAC to actually defeat all of the charter amendments that were being presented by the Democrats at the time. Right. And so one of them happened to be ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting. That's just a good, clever way to suppress votes.
Right,
but anyways,
there you go.
But go ahead.
And so when you look at ranked choice voting and you look at all of the things they claim it does, it actually does the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
They say it saves more money. It does not. They say that it's better for minorities. It does not. It actually disenfranchises minorities and those with disabilities. They say that, what is the other thing that they claim, that it is, easy to count the votes. It's not, you can't audit it.
Right.
It's not, it's super confusing.
Right.
And it just causes, more chaos and everything with our elections than, first past the post voting, which is what I'm currently pushing, as I call simple majority voting, because first past the post is kind of a bit, it was confusing to some people.
Right, right, right.
And so the goal behind supermajority voting is to reinforce the current way that we vote while prohibiting a multi-choice voting systems like ranked choice. There's approval voting. We have star voting. And there's a few others out there.
Right.
And simply the language reads, when we get it finalized, will be any voting system that allows you to vote for more than one candidate is prohibited.
Wow.
See, we should not be doing that. Your first vote is your strongest vote.
Right.
See,
right.
As you start going down your ballot and voting for 2, 3, 4, you're diluting your vote.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and you're not going to get the candidate that you want.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
So that's
right.
Kind of the deal behind.
So you were using the language first past the post. In other words, like, yeah. You know, the first one who gets the most votes.
Yes. That's
so
what it's for.
Majority. That's cool though. That's cool.
So
I like that first past the post.
Votes. Really cool. Yeah. That's the terminology behind it. But I spoke to a few people. They're like, don't use that. They said, call it something different that people will understand.
Right.
Simple majority voting. It's easy to understand.
Yeah, it's very easy.
Right. So it's not saying, and now what it's not saying is you have to get 50 plus one. No, it's not. You could get a 34, whatever percent of the vote. And if you got 34, you win, right?
If it's everything, the highest.
If it's the highest out of the amount of people running, right? Everything. It does not eliminate the primary, and it does not eliminate the write-in. You see, it just reinforces the way we currently vote now.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. That's great. Well, I would love to have you back on. We try to keep these about 10 minutes
or so. Absolutely, yes.
Love to hear your thoughts on this. This is very intriguing. We also have a digital studio, so if you ever want to just jump on, you know, we're here in person, but, you know, just I think it's called StreamYard or something like that.
Really?
So it records both computers at the same time. It's pretty cool. So,
yes.
Hey, if you're one of our defenders, we're so excited that you are here. And we are in Roanoke, in Ocean Shores, Washington. And we want to encourage you to download that Washington Defender app. It's the grassroots movement to begin to bring all of us conservatives together and to begin to be effective in the culture. So you can download that at the Google Play or Apple App Store. So God bless you. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square.